Friday, June the 8th, 2006. This is Tips from the Tall Floor, show number 129.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
And here's a warning. Today's show might turn out to become just a tiny, teensy-weensy bit geeky.
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Hello and welcome to Tips from the Top Floor. Before we get into the geeky part, remember that it's a new month, and if you have a minute, go over to the Tips from the Top Floor website and give the show a vote at podcastalley.com. The voting process is easy. Just enter your email address into the voting box. Come on, it's really easy. It's the only thing I'll be asking you for this month. Thank you. And here's a second call for the September workshop. I will be holding a 5-day digital photography workshop in Tübingen, southern Germany, from September 11th to 15th. You'll learn to get the most out of your digital gear. We'll do exercises around image composition. We'll do at least one full-day photo excursion, maybe even more, depending on interest. We'll dive into post-processing, image critique, and in general, we'll have lots of fun and be among like-minded people for the whole week. And there is a limited number of 14 participants, that's 1-4, for this workshop. So if you are interested in participating, just send me a note to info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. And in order to allow me to tailor the workshop exactly to the needs of all the participants, please include a few words about what you'd like to learn most during that week. And sending me that mail doesn't count as an official reservation, but it will really help me with all the planning around the workshop. And over the next weeks, when I have all the details together, probably towards the end of this month, I'll know the pricing, and I'll then send you the option to sign up in order of your original mail. So please, if you're interested, and if you want to secure a seat on that workshop, don't hesitate to email me. The address again, info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. And if you already want to plan this thing out and look up your travel, the nearest airport is in Stuttgart, and yeah, you should be able to find your way here. Anyway, let's look at today's topic. Now, some of you might already know, last week I made the switch from a Canon 20D to a 5D, and on today's show, I'll talk a bit about what that switch means in terms of photography. And as you know me, I usually don't talk a lot about equipment on this show, so I'll try to keep this on an as abstract level as possible and not make it into a full-fledged equipment review. There's websites out there, just go to something like dpreview.com, that do a pretty good job when it comes to equipment reviews. Well, first of all, there are a few things that you lose when you do that camera switch. First, the camera comes with the usual hot shoe for an extended flash, but it doesn't have an onboard flash. So if you need flash in your photography, you're expected to use an external one. But as I personally don't really use flash other than in the studio, this is not much of an issue for me, especially as the studio flashes are hooked up to the camera with the sync cable. The other thing you lose on is performance when using the burst mode. It can only take 3 pictures per second as opposed to the 5 pictures that its smaller sibling can do, and I suppose this comes from the fact that for each picture you take, the camera has to deal with a lot more data than its predecessors, over 12 megapixels to be specific. So if you are a sports photographer who needs fast burst performance, this is probably not the right tool for you. And last but not least, you lose something that many digital SLR photographers will be happy to lose: the crop factor. One of the big things about this camera, maybe even the most important thing for many photographers, is the size of the sensor. The sensor has the same size as the 35mm film format, and I'm sure this is the main reason for many photographers to buy this camera. But what's the big deal about the 35mm format? Well, if you never used a film SLR before, the reason might be hard to see, but most of the lenses for digital SLRs are built for that format. The size of the image they project onto the sensor is made for 35mm cameras. And if you use it on a camera with a smaller APS-size sensor, you'll only take advantage of a small portion of what the lens can do. So you're basically wasting part of your lens, and then the so-called crop factor that comes with it will convert each and every lens to a longer focal length one. On a small sensor camera, that is. But not on a full frame. A 50mm lens is a true 50mm lens and not an 80mm lens. This won't be a good thing for many nature photographers who need long focal lengths in order to be able to take shots of wild animals from far away, but if, like myself, you have been missing the true wide angle range of your camera, the switch to full frame is for you. I just love looking at the world through a 17mm perspective. Oh, and a downside of that is, of course, that your lenses should be higher quality from now on if you want to get the most out of your gear. On the one hand, vignetting in the lens's corner gets much more visible, and on the other hand, 12 megapixels means that the lens needs to be able to provide a higher resolution than for an 8 megapixel camera. And if your lens is prone to chromatic aberrations, also known as color fringing in the corners, you'll see more of that too. Well, not techy enough yet. Wait, it gets worse. Even though the camera has 4 megapixels more than its predecessors, the larger sensor area makes well up for it, and the size of the individual pixels is larger too. This gives you another advantage, and that is less noise at high ISO levels. The reason is that larger pixels are better in resolving small nuances of light, and the electronics in the camera, especially the amplifiers, will have an easier job in smoothing out the images. Oh, and if you invested in so-called digital lenses, those are the ones especially made for the smaller sensor cameras, known by their so-called EFS mount, you won't be able to use those on a 5D either, as their image circle is too small to fill the whole sensor, and as their back element usually protrudes much farther into the camera, so even if you could get one of those onto the camera, which you can't, the mirror inside the camera would not be able to move freely. Anyway, I've just had that camera for 1 week and it's learning phase all over again, not in terms of operating the camera, it operates almost the same as the 20D, but in terms of getting good compositions with wider angles, stopping down to reduce lens artifacts, and dealing with a more shallow depth of field. Woohoo, that was geeky. Well, that was it for today's Tips from the Top Floor. Please leave your feedback via email to info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. Call our comment line in the States at 206-202-DSLR. That's 206-202-3757. Or join the Tips from the Top Floor community on the forum to meet a lot of other listeners and geek out about photography and many other things. Also, please send me an email if you are interested in the 5-day digital photography workshop here at the Top Floor Productions headquarters in Tübingen, Southern Germany, starting on September 11th. The address again is info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. My name is Chris Marquardt, podcasting from the Top Floor Productions headquarters in Tübingen, Southern Germany. Have a wonderful weekend, and that's enough geekery for the week. Happy shooting!